Barnaby is the premier podcast spotlighting people of color. Every week, we talk news, what we've been playing, and tell you who's invited to the cookout. Our show is all about talking about gaming through a prism of blackness because we are the culture. Welcome to Bukkake, y'all.
Yo, what the deal be? This is the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I'm your host, Khalif Adams. Hope you're having a fantastic, amazing weekend. It is a dope place to be here on a Saturday afternoon, rocking with all of my friends here in Chicago. Shout out to Zhang Pao, shout out to Arctic, shout out to The Only Game Show for hanging out with us, watching us live here on twitch.tv/spawnonme. All across the world, we are bringing you nothing but amazing dopeness in our channel. And shout out to Furiosa Gorgeous, who's a first-time chatter in our stream. I'm excited to be here. It has been a really fun week. I am finally kind of turned the corner and gotten myself back and reacclimated to the world. It has been just a whirlwind of events and a whirlwind of fun things to be able to do. If you have been checking out our content, make sure you're checking out all the goodness that is here on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the wonderful places that you reside. YouTube has been doing some dope stuff as well. We had three of our really awesome blogs from the Game Awards and Day of the Devs, and we're going to show a little bit and talk a little bit about that in this week's episode. Thank you to everyone who came through for our celebratory celebration stream. Number 500 is in the can and is real and is in the books. It was so dope to be able to have everybody here rocking and watching the show live and coming through and giving me some love for the 10 years of Spawn on Me that is now in the history books. We have made the 10-year divide. We have hit 500. Shout out to Aaron Greenberg and to Phil Spencer for their wonderful kind words from the Xbox team, getting a chance to see them at the Game Awards and all of that goodness as well. It has been, like I said, a really dope week. Got home last weekend from the Game Awards. Didn't get sick, thank God, which is also pretty damn awesome. I was very happy about that. Also making sure that it was just a really fun and awesome and amazing time. I think one of the things I always come back from the Game Awards is you get a chance to see all of the people that you really love and really have grown up with in the industry. It has been a wild thing just to continue to see how many folks have just continued to stick in the space and folks have continued to get better at their craft and have continued to just be inspirational folks within this space. It is great to be able to see all of that kind of transpire. And it was just nice to be able to get a lot of folks send some love my way too. I think that's also a thing that I don't expect. It's not a thing that I have an expectation for, but it is really sweet to be able to see so many amazing and fantastic human beings give me some love too. It's not a thing that I go into that show looking for, but it is always nice to receive it and to hear so many folks talk about the impact that Spawn on Me has made and the impact that my work has made in that space. So, shout out to everyone in the mix. It was dope. A lot of folks liked the sweatshirt and liked the sweater, the little sparklies that I had on, which was really nice. I tried to get my fit. I'm sad that I did not make it into the Kotaku Best Dressed article that usually what happens during the Game Awards. I am disappointed. I did not make the cut. I tried really hard to do something different, and I'm sad that it didn't work. I came home a loser. I didn't get it. I wanted it so bad. I really did. I wanted it. I tried this year. Anyway, we have some dope stuff to talk about. That means the first thing we have to do is jump into the 411. First up on the 411 is our Day of the Devs recap. I'm telling you, man, like one of the things that makes Day of the Devs super, super cool is getting a chance to be around folks who are really moving the space forward. Day of the Devs this year was one of the biggest and best versions of Day of the Dev. Day of the Devs that I've seen coming from Double Fine. Like, Double Fine usually knocks it out of the park, and they continue to make so much fun work and fun content. But when they've kind of delved into this space and really pushing the indie space forward, it has been just like extra special to be able to see just how far the indie space has come. I think a lot of people still think of indie in these kind of very rudimentary ways. I think a lot of folks don't give the indie space the love that it deserves and the kind of gravitas that it deserves, because a lot of people really just think about the kind of AA and AAA space. But I would say this year, at the end of 2023, in a year in which so many developers and the gaming industry as a whole has been really on a downturn for developers, it was really nice to be able to go into Day of the Devs and see just so many amazingly fantastic games. Like, you know, and it was across every genre, which I thought was pretty dope. Like, in the fighting game space, you had Drag Her, which is this drag-inspired fighter, 2D fighter. You had Two Strikes, which was this kind of Bushido Blade-esque game that really came through and just like brought home so many good memories of that game and that kind of really go in all, you know, balls to the wall kind of gameplay. You know, Horses was a game that I think seriously you all have to go check out when that drops. It was one of the most bizarre games that I got a chance to kind of look at and mess around with and play. And there were still a ton of games that I just didn't even get a chance to actually go have hands on with. And some of those, I'm going to reach back out to some of those developers and see if I can get some time with them. But there was anything that you could have asked for from a gaming perspective, you had an opportunity to do something there. There was, you know, Give Me Toilet Paper, which was a game that was literally like a toilet tissue roll with a Joy-Con in the middle of it and the device to kind of steer that piece of toilet tissue around on the board was a piece of cardboard that was folded in half to kind of make a ramp that you would kind of balance back and forth. There was so much cool stuff there that I just really want people to remember that, like, the indie space is the space that holds up the entire industry in an actual real way. Like, I think when people forget just how good the indie space can be, you know, showcases like Day of the Devs really bring that to the forefront and do that work in a way that really tells you and reminds you of just how good gaming can be from every level. Like, you know, we had the God of War DLC that dropped this week that was free and is really, really good. I'm playing through The Last of Us Last of Us 2 remastered stuff that I can't talk about yet, but we'll talk about soon. Again, big games I think a lot of people will recall as some of the biggest and best games of the year, but also thinking about the indie space for this year has just been phenomenal. Like, you know, after I finish recording this, I'm going to go upstairs and play a game that I've been waiting on for a long time called Cookie Cutter. This really dope Metroidvania that's all hand-drawn. It's like super brilliant and fantastic. And then you go back to a game like Dome King Cabbage, which was, you know, one of the weirdest, coolest experiments and experiences that I have had a chance to play in a very long time, where I came away from that thing, and I think everybody who came away from it was dumbfounded and astounded in a good way. Like, it is very rare to have a game kind of give you this feeling of, holy crap, what the hell was that that I just experienced? What the hell was that that I just went through? What, like, where did that come from? Kind of vibes. And it was so awesome to be able to just remember how good the space is. Game Manual in the chat says Milt Somer has a giant cop trying to stop you from taking a train. Yeah, like super weird stuff like that. Like, you know, those games are super bugged out and weird. There was another game where it was basically like almost Typing of the Dead, but it was also like a roguelike typing game, which was super cool. What else was on the map? There was one about being in a call center that I didn't get a chance to play, which was super fire. Again, like, what I want people to remember is that Cryptmaster, yes, thank you, Game Manuel. Those kinds of games are new. They're interesting. They're trying to do something different. And then you have something like Kind Words 2, which got so many folks through the pandemic in a real way. Like, those reimaginings and those kind of sequels, I think, not only do good for the world, but they also just do really good for, you know, the human element and for having a game that is an interesting commentary on the real world and lets people have these cathartic moments that, you know, when you talk about cozy games, you talk about how games can impact your life and impact you as a human being. Games like, you know, Kind Words 2 just really bring something special in a space that means a ton for a lot of folks in a lot of different ways. One of the other things that kind of came out of Day of the Devs, which I thought was pretty fantastic, was I got a chance to really dig into the vlog space again, which was something that I don't really do often. But shout out to, you know, my homie cameraman and also editor who did the edits on, you know, two of the pieces that went up on our YouTube channel, Evan Campbell, formerly of Inside Gaming, who really kicked ass this week, really did a fantastic job on the camera work and the edit, really was the person who made a lot of that content come through. And it just reminds me as well of how awesome it is to have really good people in your life who are talented, folks who really understand how to make content sing and really feel like they are doing the work of, you know, bringing the Spawn on Me ethos to the work and really giving me a place to shine and giving me a place to do a thing that I love. And getting to see it come out so well, it was such a blast to kind of dig through a lot of that footage and getting a chance to see, you know, how that all came about. So always dope to be able to get people to come out and support in that way. You know, he volunteered to come through and be a part of, you know, Day of the Devs for me and the Game Awards. And I just love that cat. He's just such a good human being and such a fantastic editor and videographer and all that stuff. Made me look better than I've ever looked in some of the content that I didn't get a chance to do. So massive love to Evan for doing that work and making that super freaking awesome. The last thing I'll say about Day of the Devs was the coolest game in the space was the one that we're showing right now, Dome King Cabbage. And go check out the interview. We're going to have some of those interviews coming up and the full interviews that we got a chance to do with some of the developers at the show going up on our YouTube channel sometime next week. It's a little bit of not a rush to have those put out, but getting those together and kind of editing those down and making those feel good. We're going to crank on some of those and make sure those go up on the YouTube channel too, because I think some of those we edited down to kind of give you more of a snippet view of some of that stuff. And I'm hoping that we get a chance to like really showcase and share a lot of those things. If you go check out the YouTube video, you'll see that a lot of the games that were showcased in our video are linked there to go check out, either to go wish list or to go check out or to go play their demos and any of that kind of stuff. So please, please, please go give those developers a ton of love and hook them up with some time and some of your brain space to be able to check out a lot of that stuff, because it was, again, one of the best shows on the planet for us to be able to cover it, and for the devs who really had a really amazing showing this year. Next conversation, next topic in the 411 this week is all about E3 dying. E3 is finally dead. The ESA has laid the show to rest in an actual way. They have said in a statement that went out in a couple days ago, after more than two decades of E3, each one bigger than the last, the time has come to say goodbye. Thanks for the memories, GGWP. Good game, well played. I mean, E3 to me is and was the pinnacle of being in the gaming industry. Like, I shared some sentiments on Twitter, you know, over the past couple of days about what E3 meant to me. And, you know, Spawn on me as a show, me as a person within the industry, you know, wouldn't be here without E3 in a major, for real way. Like, you know, shout out to Adam Sessler. Adam Sessler, formerly of G4 and all the other places that he resides, got me my first E3 pass. You know, because he believed in what Spawn on Me was going to be and what Spawn on Me was, and believed in what the ideas around diversity and inclusion and equity were from a video game conversation standpoint, and put his name on the line for us as a team that was very, very young and was still trying to figure it all out. You know, it's where I built so many memories with the Game Attack Radio team, with, you know, Danny and Paris, and like our friendship was solidified over those E3s in a real way. You know, like, we got to become homies because of the hustle that we all did during our times at E3, and it was always just really fun to be able to know every summer you'd see them and see them hustle and talk about games and talk about the industry and do a lot of that work. Like, you know, Andrew Renee and the folks from What's Good Games, like, we really, you know, made a bond in those spaces. And a lot of times the legitimacy about, oh, and you know, somebody said, what about Pete is one of the dopest folks from Game Attack Radio that I don't think gets a lot of love because he's not on the show as much, but Pete is amazingly fire and dope. But you know, there were so many memories that go along with each one of those shows. E3 for me was the first time I got on a plane to travel across the country from New York to LA. I met my half sister for the first time because I stayed with her, and we hadn't even really known each other prior to the show. So I got a chance to meet her for the first time. I got a chance to work a room the first time and learn what it was like to network. As a person who's an introvert, learning how to manage those spaces and learn how to deal with PR and learn how to, you know, get your media pass and all the small things that you learn that are now just like easy to do, you had to learn at some point. And E3 was the kind of learning ground and training ground for so many of the things that I get a chance to do today, getting a chance to do a lot of those stand-up interviews and getting a chance to be closer with teams like the ones at Xbox and Nintendo and all those other places. You got a chance to do some of that work at E3, and you know, there was some down memories in that space. You know, I think, you know, I got hurt at E3 one year. I bent down to go tie my shoe and got poked in the eye by a pokey bush. And my right eye was just like weepy for the entire E3. Like, I was supposed to go to Giant Bomb for my first appearance and couldn't go because my eye was just watery for like 3 days. Also ripped my pants before going to Giant Bomb for another appearance. Like, I had so many weird things happen during that show that it was just so wild to see and think back about all the fun times that were had during that show. And I think It's a sad time to see, you know, E3 has tried to come back a couple different ways and a couple different times. The ESA has tried to shoehorn it into a bunch of different things, and it just hasn't really worked. But I still think that there's a generation of gaming industry folks now who will grow up without having that experience, and I'm sad for them because that experience was so formative for understanding how to hustle during a show and understanding how to connect with people and understanding what it means to be in the video game industry proper, that it winds up just being one of those difficult moments in the space to be able to, like, man, I really wish that we had that time to be able to really do a lot of that work in a really fun and interesting way together and separately, and to be able to rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the video game industry. Like, now you can kind of do some of that stuff at the Game Awards. And, you know, if you are lucky enough to get invited to DICE's, where all the big kind of deals get made in the space, that's where, like, things actually happen in a real way. So it's, like, nuts to be able to see how those things go down. But it is just, like, a missed opportunity now for so many folks to have gone to that show and to really, like, cut your teeth in that way and in those spaces. So E3 is a bittersweet thing for me of it going away. Like, I don't think it was ever going to get back to a space to have the prominence that it had before. But in the seven times that I think I've gone six times in my career, it was the most hectic, beautiful, weird, stressful as hell experience that made me into one of the people who you see today in this industry. And without that, you know, crucible of fire of going through all of that work and learning and being the cameraman and on-air talent and all that stuff for a couple of years by myself and still getting a lot of content done, it really does go back to what does that mean for the rest of the industry. I think Summer Games Fest now is the space to be able to see a lot of that work happen. And they've done a much better job. Jeff Keighley's done a really good job of putting everything in a good spot for everybody to kind of see things and be able to go and it not be mega stressful of having to run from one total end of a convention center through 50,000 people or whatever and be able to go get your work done. And have it still be enjoyable in comparison to what E3 was, which is a little bit of a wild ride, if I'm being honest about it. So sad that folks are not able to kind of be in that space, and that kind of sucks. Like, I wish that that was a thing that people would have and can still do, and for folks to really kind of just be a part of that moment. It just doesn't happen that way anymore. And I think there's a lot of people who probably kind of suffer because of that, right? Like, if you don't go through that kind of work and you don't go through those kinds of moments, you wind up having to do everything kind of virtually, which I think a lot of people are doing now. And that also just doesn't feel the same, you know? Like, when I was coming up, that was the thing that people would tell me, is like, if you get a chance to go to E3, one, you've made it, and two, it is the thing that you want to go to because of the relationships that you've built over the years. And I think that that has always been a big part of the conversation for why that show is so important and so special to so many folks in this space. Before we get up out of here, though, I do have to give a big, big, big amount of love to our sponsor in AG1. I've been on and taking AG1 for about a month now, and I'm telling you now, it's been so fantastic to have all of this energy, have all of this kind of good cognitive space when I'm waking up in the morning and weaning myself off of coffee. And if you want to get down on it and you want to be a part of the AG1 crew, I would say, you know, it is a supplement that I really believe in. I think it really supports a lot of my daily needs for my body, for my mind. And, you know, if you go to drinkag1.com/spawn on me, you can go check it out. It has the vitamin D3K2 packets that you get, and you get that free for a 1 year supply. And also you get 5 of the AG1 travel packs, which is really fantastic. Again, that's drinkag1.com/spawnonme. It is awesome to be able to get some of that in the mornings. It is really giving me a ton of energy. It's really giving me a lot of gut health help as well, as a person who has a lot of problems with that in an actual way. You know, I've not been taking care of myself in the best ways, but I feel like to kind of help rectify some of that, I've been on AG1, and AG1 has been really dope to be able to make me feel better in the mornings and make me feel like I have that boost of energy and getting all of those really vital nutrients and supplements that I need for the mornings and before I start my day. So again, drinkag1.com/spawnonme is the place you can go. Massive love to our friends over AG1 for sponsoring our show and sponsoring Spawn on Me. And we're going to have one last story before we get up out of here for the end of our show. So go check out drinkag1.com/spawnonme. Go let them know if you do jump on it to let them know how you're feeling and how you dig it. And we'll have one more story in the 411 when we come back from our break. So we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Khalif here from the Spawn on Me podcast. Hey, we have been in the market for new PCs for a long time. And for our 10th year anniversary, the wonderful folks from NZXT have partnered with us in a collab to be our hardware sponsors. So if you are looking for a new PC to stream or to game in the best way possible, go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld, and you'll be able to find a perfect PC for you, whether that be the Player 1 machine, Player 2 machine, or Player 3 machine. The ones that we're rocking for our new studio build, they have everything you possibly could need for the best PC experience on the planet. Remember to go check out nzxt.co/spawnonmebld, and it will get you set up right. Much love and peace. Welcome back to the Spawn on Me podcast with Khalif Adams. I am your host, Khalif Adams. I hope you're doing well and had a wonderful time during our break. Again, shout out to our friends over at AG1 for sponsoring the Spawn on Me podcast and rocking it with us for the month of December. The last story of this episode of Spawn on Me, this is a quickie but shorty episode, is all about boobies. The conversation on Twitch about the sexual content that has come up on Twitch this week has been really interesting and weird, and it just brings about so many ideas and curiosities about what is happening on the platform that I wanted to talk a little bit about it, because I'm just kind of dumbfounded at this point. So Twitch had gone forth and made some changes to some of their guidelines around sexual content. They allowed what they called artistic nudity after what was kind of coming up as what we want to call it, the topless meta that was happening currently on Twitch. So to go back a step, there's a lot of folks in the art layers on Twitch that wanted to be able to draw suggestive art. So they wanted to be able to draw, like if you were to go to a drawing class and you have a naked form and you maybe want to draw the naked form and practice on what that looks like to be able to make sure that your like body proportions are good and you understand the human body and you're able to kind of replicate that in your work. That it was interesting to see that conversation be in the mix. Alongside that, going way back to the hot tub meta, which is one in which scantily clad people were in hot tubs, and a lot of folks were upset about that because the running narratives were, oh, this is taking resources away from other streamers. This is cannibalizing and kind of pulling in all of these streamers and all of these views to folks who are there just to be hornballs and look at half butt naked women in bathing suits. So everybody who saw this come down the pipeline when the conversation happened on social media and on the platform, I think a lot of folks were like, okay, we're going to allow, like the conversation was, we're going to allow various kinds of suggestive content on the platform. Some of that was, you know, we'll continue to let you body paint. Twerking is a thing that people want to do on Twitch for some reason, and have that be a thing that people stream and be a part of it. Or I guess if you twerk in some form or fashion, that will be allowed on the platform on your streams and all that kind of stuff. And alongside that, there was going to be a space to be able to have suggestive content if you label it using the tools that have been implemented on Twitch, to be able to say, all right, so if I'm going to do something where I'm going to drink, or I'm going to talk about sex, or I'm going to have sexually explicit content, or sexually suggestive content, I would say, that is allowable on Twitch. So that then moved, and I think everyone on the content creation side has been looking at this ever-evolving, tiptoeing to the line of what is permissible on Twitch and what is kind of the thing that you want to see on the platform. And of course, sex is going to consistently sell. Like, we've seen numerous streamers kind of make that a part of their daily content, with the hot tub streams and the going to sleep streams and lingerie and all this other kind of stuff that we've seen happen on the space. And it just is really weird, right? Like, I'm not a puritanical person. Like, that's not me. Like, I'm totally like, do all the sexy stuff that you want. Like, that's not an issue for me. Like, even the like topless meta that we see now, which, you know, Amaranth was famously doing in the hot tub streams and became famous, rich and famous from that. And now we have folks like Morgpie who are doing this thing where you basically put your camera up to a space where you just see like the top of your boobs and like almost cleavage. That's now the new topless meta. And it just really made me think about like, well, what is the platform trying to be? And in a way that is not trying to shame anyone, because that's not the ethos of what I'm trying to get at. But it's like, if this is the content that you need to put on this platform, when there are numerous platforms to be able to do this specific kind of work in a much better, in a much more open, in a way that feels like those platforms like OnlyFans and other places like that and Patreon are available for you to be able to do this in the most open ways, why try to shoehorn content that you have to work around to not be able to do everything you want in the ways that you actually kind of really are trying to do it? Like, I don't know who are the people who, besides the thirsty dudes and whoever else is thirsty, who is looking at the content that Morgpie does and even the stuff that Amaranth does and are like, man, I gotta watch that. Like, I personally don't think that it's interesting. But it's just a very weird time on the platform to be able to be like, this is the thing that we want to let rock and let be a thing and let have space. When I think Twitch is constantly under this weird radar or self-imposed radar, where it just is finding itself in this kind of fork in the road where it doesn't know what it wants to be. And I think in an effort to let everything rock, it winds up diluting what Twitch can be, which is a really amazing portal for good entertainment and good content that can reach a wide audience. But now we've kind of dumbed it down to like, oh, if there's a titty on the screen, then that's what we're going to get. Like, sure, titties are great and that's awesome, but like, is that what Twitch wants to be? Is that the space that Twitch needs to be? Like, there's been various conversations about like, oh, what about the kids who are going to see sexual content? Like, you can gate some of that. And you can also ask people to not put that content up. They've done a good job of giving you a space to be able to basically tag and label your work as suggestive and sexual. But the thing that has bugged me out about all of this stuff, besides the fact that like every topless meta streamer is all greased up too. Like, that was the thing that made me laugh, is like, there was a moment when I think a lot of people in the community, both on in the culture and in the streaming community, on that side of the fence, who were female presenting, who were saying, when a lot of dudes were being assholes about the whole conversation about the female form, and a lot of conversations came about the male gaze, which are all valid and all reasonable. But there was a backlash and a pushback from a lot of the women who were doing that work to be like, well, look, we are legitimate human beings who don't want to be labeled as booby streamers and don't want to be the folks who are just being told that, like, the reason you're getting views is just because of your breasts and the fact that they're just out there and doing their thing. And we've gone from that to now having a just straight up glistening titty meta. Just oiled up titties on on the timeline and on the front page of the thing. Like, where did we go wrong? Like, what happened where it was like, we want to be respected and we want people to think of us as full human beings, and then we also are just like, we're just gonna put all the business out on the timeline and expect everyone to treat us with the same gravitas as if we weren't doing that work. Like, again, sex work is sex work. Shout out to people who are doing that work. But to also be like, we want to be respected, but also like, we also don't want to have this be the thing that we are known for. It just seems like those are opposite conversations that are happening. It feels like you're saying one thing and doing another in a lot of these conversations. Just to me, again, no shade, no judgment. It just feels weird for that to be where we've now landed in terms of the sexual freedoms that we hope people will have and give people the space to be their fullest selves in those ways. I'm just like, okay, I guess this is where we're at now. Like, this is the thing where the conversation and the theory and the thought of just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. I feel like we've hit that part of the game now, where even me as a person who loves to see sexually suggestive content, I am feeling inundated at this point with everything that you see everywhere all the time, and everywhere you see, and you're going to do just other stuff, and then randomly it's just like, well, you twerking on a table, you know, your booty out, and oh, your boobs are out on in the content spaces that we would kind of see sectioned off to not have that content when you had to usually go and troop and go find that stuff. Now there's an overabundance of it that it also feels super saturated, and it also feels like, who is this for in the grand scheme? Which I'm trying to figure out, what does that mean for not only as a person who does content, but a person who likes to kind of go through content and to see that there are no lines anymore and delineated spaces. Everything merges and everything crosses over in a way where, again, not on some like, what about the kids, but like, you also have to now do so much more work as a parent and as a person who is trying to maybe hold on to a modicum of your kids, of your kids' innocence, that like, shit, like, where do you go now to shield your kid from having any of that stuff kind of thrown at them in a way that doesn't feel necessarily that they're ready for, or that you are ready to kind of teach them or go through that process? And then we worry about, and then we wonder why kids are in this space, or even young adults. And especially we've seen with conversations that have happened with impressionable young dudes, who we talk about this Andrew Tate effect that has happened, where, you know, misogyny is a big part of that content, and people are being weird about it, and people are being like, this is this alpha male thing. We already have layers of toxic masculinity that are in this space with a lot of unchecked, unexamined teachings of a lot of people who are seeing a lot of this content just be thrown at you at a million miles an hour. I don't have a problem with it being on the platform. I don't think it needs to be cordoned off into something where no one can ever see it. I don't want it to be a thing where we're talking about, oh, if you do all this stuff, you're a bad human being. Like, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Like, I let people be people and let people rock with all the stuff they want to do. But as a platform, it's a weird thing to have to explain to other people when everyone thinks that those things are adjacent. And that it is a waterfall effect on people who are not doing that content, where they get bottled in with all the folks who are doing that content. And then the overarching narrative about the platform is like, oh, well, this place is really open to sexual content when it's not. And people who are like, this isn't sexual content, that's bullshit. Like, that's not true. Like, I think we have to also be honest about what this is trying to be and say, yeah, it has a space here, but also don't try to make it sound like everyone who is seeing this content, there isn't a human element here where the main justification for this is tantalization. I know that people are going to be like, well, that doesn't make sense because just because a woman is half naked doesn't mean that it's sexual content. That's reasonable. I understand that. I get that. But also to not understand that many, many people will view this as sexual content also just doesn't rub up with the way that the real world works. So I think in a way, this is just a weird space that we've now moved into. And it was really nice to be able to see Angela Heshin from the content team talk about this and the rest of the team at Twitch talk about this. I want to share a quick clip from that because I think it's important to hear what they said. But we're in a really weird space that I'm trying to figure out and navigate. So take a quick listen to what Dan Clancy, CEO of Twitch, Steve Myzakowski, who's one of the principal product managers, Fam Ray Apollo, who's on the community side, and Angela Heshin, who's the VP of Customer Trust, had to say about the topless meta in Twitch.
I wanted to touch on the meta that we're seeing, the topless meta. And so moving forward, we're asking people that appear to be naked or appear to be topless to make sure that they're using this sexual themed content classification label. What I would say is that we're looking at this trend end to end, and we're trying to make sure that our policies are looking at this more for the longer term. So as we think about this new trend, we'll come back to you with any policy updates over.
So again, like, I get it from a Twitch perspective, right? Like, again, we're trying to figure out good ways for people to be their fullest selves and to be able to make content that is more risque and a little bit more adult. Because again, like, the main demographic I think on Twitch is probably like from 25 to 34. Like, I don't think it's a lot of actual like young kids and a lot of stuff like that in that mix. But I do find it really funny and really interesting. So when I had that conversation a couple weeks back on Twitter about like microtransactions and needing to potentially have, and people digging a little bit more and thinking a little bit more about self-control and about keeping people away from things that they are going to find harmful. I had a lot of folks in my mentions talk about, well, again, if you know that folks are addict prone, and we know that these platforms are also predatory in a lot of different ways, so we want to make sure that we're not just saying that, like, well, you know, it's not about self-control, it's about the process of the companies putting these in front of people for things to be there, and they're adding and they're giving and incentivizing a lot of this content to be within the game space that we know people have done studies about to say this is going to tap on that layer in your brain, that chemical layer in your brain, to be like, well, people who are in those spaces are just going to find that content and they're going to not be able to kind of like move away from and divert themselves away from some of that stuff. How does that not really work for some of this too, right? Like, in the same ways where we ask people to be cautious and say we don't want corporations building things for people knowing how the human brain works, and saying we want to safeguard people by doing some of that stuff, and you ask people to say, like, hey, I want you to do a little bit of an internal audit to think about what are your triggers, what are the things that get you hyped, and what are the things that hit those dopamine levels and poke you in those ways to bring you closer to a thing that you know is bad for you. But we don't do that when it comes to certain levels of content on Twitch. We kind of have this space where everyone is like, well, let everything rock and let everything be on the channels. We'll put tags in there. We'll gate some of that stuff from you. But instead of saying, no, we don't want that on this platform because of the different layers that we go through from a public safety perspective for the streamers who are here, when we know that there are big issues with, with the ways that people are stalkers and the ways that people have these really weird identifications with people and say that, oh, well, we're closer than we actually are. I forgot the term for it. It just ran out of my brain. And we ask and we know that people are constantly trying to be or are inundated with all of these visuals all the time in a space in which we know that people have been fighting the over-sexualization of a lot of imagery and have been trying to fight the male gaze and have been trying to do all that stuff. But we're like, this is a thing that we want to push forward and let rock and be a thing that we want everyone to kind of consume. Just feels weird to me. I don't know how to justify or to kind of construct a good balance here for people to be able to do that stuff. But, you know, people have a good understanding that, like, Justin TV and Twitch were never really super safe for children. And we know that. That's reasonable. We see some of the content that rocks on here on a daily basis. Misogyny, racism, all that kind of stuff. But what confuses me is I think there's a space for Twitch to be able to say, like, we know where this is going to go. We can foresee, we can do the work to foresee the problems because they already walked back the artistic nudity stuff already because people were overindulging and people were doing basically pornographic imagery in the VTuber space and other anime stuff. Instead of saying, maybe this doesn't actually have a space on our platform, they try to have it both ways and have their kid can eat it too and then have to walk back that stuff. And I think a lot of the folks who are the biggest proponents for this kind of content to be on the space who want that super, super uber progressive thing to rock and want that thing to just be a everything for everyone kind of space. None of those folks also will do the work to have to help those people who wind up getting caught up into that and really find themselves in a bad space mentally to do the work to help that unlearning happen either. So a lot of people are like, yo, twerk everywhere you want and put your butt on everything and everybody does a thing and stuff. Also, don't do the work of trying to figure out the good ways to help the people who would be most prone to that kind of stuff of helping them. They're not going to do the work of teaching those folks to unlearn any of those things. Teaching the super impressionable young people who are going to see this content every day on social media and on IG and on TikTok and all these places who are being inundated with all that stuff. None of those folks will be the first ones on the forefront to be like, yeah, we need this. This is good. This is empowerment. This is all this kind of stuff. But they won't do any of the work to kind of help with the back end effect of what that means for those people who wind up getting caught up in it. So I feel like not everything needs everything. Not every platform needs to have every piece of content. And it'll be interesting to see what the future of Twitch looks like in this space. Yes, you could probably do like a Twitch After Dark, do a whole different site and gate that stuff super hard, but also go to OnlyFans. Like OnlyFans will do the same work that you're trying to get done. Even if you want to diversify your platform and experiences and make more money in more places. Cause yeah, it makes a lot of sense as a content creator to be able to like put your stuff in every place. But also, what does that mean for the platform? What does that mean for the people who are your platform neighbors? What does that mean for the overall essence of what the platform is trying to do? And not everything is necessarily needed to be in every space. Like, I don't see people twerking at funerals. If you are, do your thing. I don't have anything wrong with twerking either, but I'm also just a little bit tired of seeing scattered butt everywhere. That's honest. Like, I like it. It's great. But also, like, scattered ass everywhere isn't necessary. So, anywho, that's a lot of my conversations, my actual points about like the state of the streaming space and the state of Twitch and all of those things. I think we're in a just very weird space, and I just don't know what that means for the overarching narrative of where content is going. I don't know what that means for the overarching space, especially in a video game platform like Twitch, to be able to do that kind of stuff and have that be the kind of main thrust for what that's going to wind up being. That just feels freaking weird, and I wish people would just say it feels freaking weird. Like, just say it's weird. It doesn't mean you have to want it to go away. It doesn't mean that you need it to be something that we're trying to slut-shame people for or do any of that work, because that's terrible and gross. But also, I think we can, as adults, say, like, yo, maybe this doesn't need to always be everywhere all the time, every time, everywhere you go. Like, that's all I'm saying. So we're going to get about it here for this week's episode of Spawn On Me. If you have not heard on Twitch and on Twitter, all of those places, the Spawnies nominations are out. You can go and be a part of our show. You can nominate the games that you want. Go to at Khalif Adams on Twitter. Check out my pinned tweet, and you will be able to go vote for your favorite games of the year. Make sure that when you go through, you click in each individual tweet for each individual category, and you'll be able to then reply to those tweets with the name of the game that you want for that category, and those names and games will be tabulated for our nomination show that's going to happen in early January. So we'll be doing more. I'll be sharing more about when that date is. And definitely go, please. Like, again, a lot of people had a lot of stuff to say about the Game Awards and the games that were nominated in that space. This show is all about the fans. This show is all about all of you in our Bricago community, in our lovely biscuit forum about what you want that game to be and those games to be. So you can't be mad when your game doesn't make it into the lot for a specific category if you didn't vote, because all those votes are coming from you. They are not coming from me. They're not coming from Rihanna, who's going to be my co-host for our February 2024 show of the Spawnie. So much love to you all. Massive love to everybody who's been in the chat today. I'm going to get this bad boy edited and put it on the timelines. Make sure you go and check us out on Spotify. Make sure you go put us out on Apple Podcasts. Please, if you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure the automatic downloads are on. We've lost a ton of listeners because over the years, when you switch your RSS feed, the automatic downloads go away. So make sure that if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, that you are hitting that automatic downloads button to make sure that you're getting the show every week that we go live with those bad boys. If you're here on twitch.tv/spawnonme, hang out for another 5 minutes or so. I'll go talk to everybody in the chat. Everybody else who's listening in audio form and on Spotify and video form there, please, please, please go check out the show. Go subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star review on the places that we reside for all of that work. Everybody here on Twitch, much love to you all. We're going to see you all next week. And until then, wash your hands, wash your buttocks. And we'll see you all very, very soon. Much love. Peace. If you're here on Twitch,